Welcome to Messing About in Ships, Episode 13, February 28, 2008. This week we have a Mariner's Perspective, some listener comments, the Independence's Farewell Voyage, 307 days down, 693 to go, Internet ports a call, and pod safe music. Welcome to episode number 13 of Messing About in Ships. I'm Peter Mello from seafever.org, and my podcasting partner is Captain John Conrad from gcaptain.com. Hey, John, how's it going?
Good evening, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's a stormy night here, a little windy and rainy, but if it was snow, it would be really bad, but it's just rain. So I'm kind of tucked in here and talking to you tonight, so it's not too bad. How's it out there?
The fire going?
I don't have the fire going tonight, actually. I thought about it, but didn't light one up. Kind of running out of wood, actually. The end of the season, and I need to kind of stock up on some more wood. But how's things out there?
Yeah, really good. Got the ISPS, International Shipboard Security Audit, next week, so just getting ready for that.
Wow. A lot of work for that, I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Just going over all the paperwork and the super secret plans.
Yeah. Anything else going on?
Confidential information is you can't get other people to help you out on it.
that's right.
Just like doing it yourself.
Yep. Oh well. Well, it keeps you busy. During your long quiet watches, I guess there.
Absolutely.
So we actually have a few little pieces of housekeeping here, local news, we'll call it. We posted episode number 12, which was a special interview you did with the U.S. Coast Guard helicopter rescue crew of the Sean Seymour 2 incident. That's up. That went up over the weekend, and hopefully people will get a chance to listen to it. It's, really, really top-notch job you did with that. And the next installment will be with a C-130 flight crew, and hopefully that'll come up over the next week or so.
Great. I'm really excited about it. It was a great interview and a just amazing crew that I got a chance to talk with.
Yeah, excellent. And we are still trying to schedule the actual captain and owner of the Sean Seymour, too, right? So we'll have him, too.
We missed our little window of opportunity, and he just launched the Sean Seymour 3. So he's busy having fun with his boat, and I think once he has a free moment from that, he's excited to talk with us. So
that'll be good too. That'll really bring the whole thing full circle. Get all kinds of different perspectives on this amazing story. Last week we talked a little bit about who's listening to what we're doing, and just pulling up the way we track this, and I'm just going to run through a list of the countries that we have listeners in, and this really kind of reinforces two things, I think, that first of all, the maritime world is certainly a global one, and that what matches up nicely with that is that podcasting is also a global medium, so it's the ability for us to reach out to people all over. So here we go. We got people in the United States, our biggest audience, the United Kingdom, our second biggest audience. We got Canada, Germany, Singapore, Australia, Denmark, Spain, the European Union, India, Finland, the Netherlands, Poland, Russian Federation, Italy, Brazil, Chile, Ireland, Iceland, Republic of Korea, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, Norway, New Zealand, the Philippines, and just a catch-all category of other countries. So we've got people all over the world here listening. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do the Google Analytics on the GCaptain blog, and I think we've got in every country except three. Inland African countries. So it's exciting to see the map, and you wonder where some of these people in other remote countries are coming to from. I wish we could grab some of their stories. I'm sure they're interesting ones.
Yeah, absolutely, and hopefully we'll get them to you know, participate, get a little bit more engaged in the discussion and the dialogue. We know there are, you know, people are listening from all these places, and we just love to hear from you and your story ideas, your comments about what we got going here, and suggestions, ideas, thoughts. Just send them our way.
Yeah, that sounds really good. And there was just an earthquake in England, 125 miles north of London, and I'm just sitting down writing a blog post, and I get a message saying that the blog's being spammed. I had 6 messages really quickly, and I went and looked, and one of our posts is on earthquakes, because it ranks real high in Google for live earthquake data. And people in London, which happens to be G-Captain's top-rated city, people in London just writing comments and giving their experience real time as they're feeling it. So, real exciting stuff.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, when you told me that, I went over there and started doing a little Googling and checked out CNN to see what's going on, because my wife's British and we have friends and family over there, so just checking it out. Doesn't seem to be all that bad, hopefully. So.
Good.
Ahoy, everyone. This is Captain Kelly Sweeney with another Mayor's Perspective on Messing About in Ships podcast. Since we're all going to need a transportation worker's identification credential card soon, I decided to apply for my TWIC early. So yesterday I called 1-866-DHS-TWIC, and after a mere 2 hours on hold, was able to pre-enroll and make an appointment to apply for my TWIC card. Warning! If you do not make an appointment and decide just to walk in to an enrollment center to get your TWIC card, you will have to wait until everyone else that day there, who already has an appointment, is finished before they let you do yours. Pre-enrolling over the phone involved my answering some questions about my citizenship and where I was born, which happens to be Minnesota. On Friday, I'll make the 2.5-hour trip into Seattle to keep my appointment to enroll for my TWIC card, fill out some forms, show my passport, get fingerprinted, and have my picture taken. And then I'm going to give them my money order for $132.50, made out to Lockheed Martin, not the U.S. Coast Guard or TSA, and the money order because personal checks are not accepted. Then I'm going to have to travel 2.5 hours back home and wait to be notified of my approval. Last November, a buddy of mine applied, and he waited 2 weeks for the notification to come in. But another friend of mine told me today, expect 2 months. By September 25th, it's going to be mandatory that we all have a TWIC card. If you don't have one, you may not be able to work. So I encourage you to enroll and get down there and get that process started soon. On next week's Messing About in Ships podcast, I'll let you know how things went for me in Seattle on Friday. Till next time, this is Captain Kelly Sweeney. Smooth sailing.
We have a couple listener-reader comments this week, and the first one came in from Billy Sabatini, and Billy writes, I like the segment about the Jones Act and what it means to mariners. I would really like to hear the debate between why it should be done away with or keep it the same way. I agree that any legislation that was written when Babe Ruth was still getting used to playing for New York probably doesn't relate to us now. Although I do think that if we went to a global market in shipping, few American mariners would want to stay in the industry when they could make more money by staying home. Also, the Black Crowes song made my day. So,
Wait, do we put on the boxing gloves now?
No, I think Billy brings up a good point, though. I think it would be good for us in the future to maybe focus an episode on the Jones Act and bring in some experts, maybe an admiralty attorney into the podcast to answer some questions and give us some insight about where this is all headed. So maybe we can work on that in the coming episode.
Sounds great, and I volunteer to pick the experts, so don't worry about that.
Maybe I'll have to – do I have to pick an expert too? Do we have to retain attorneys for this debate? Actually, I don't think we're too far separated on this.
No, they're good arguments for both sides.
Yeah, definitely. And then we got an email from J.B. Bagby from Fort Macon, is that how you say it? Sail and Power Squadron, regarding the 75th birthday of the Sylvia II, which is a beautifully restored 36-foot core sound sink net fishing vessel out of the Moorhead City, North Carolina area. This vessel was, I guess, brought up. She sunk, and I think she was brought up in 1976 and then lovingly restored, used now not for fishing but more for educational purposes, and they are looking for some support. I think this weekend she celebrated her 75th birthday, so happy birthday to her, the Sylvia II, and I'm probably going to do something on my blog about her. They sent some great pictures. She's a great-looking boat, and we just thank him for sending that information our way.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful boat. Great job restoring her. All right, and G-Captain has some news. The Fred Fry's Maritime Monday is now officially on G-Captain's blog, and we've been getting a lot of great feedback. So head over there and post your comments, read some of the other comments. And if you know of a maritime blog that's not on the list, let us know. We're real excited. It's Fred's 99th post. Next week will be his 100th, and we're really glad to have him.
The 100th Maritime Monday, that's pretty cool. Look forward to that one. Got to do something. Got to get him a big cake or something. Or a bottle of scotch or something.
Something.
This is Robin Storm, and this is Storm Watch for the week of 25 February 2008. Western Atlantic storm warning as of 27 February 2008. There is a low east of area 42 north, 29 west at 1011 millibars, within 480 nautical miles southwest quadrant. Winds 20 to 30 knots, seas 9 to 17 feet. All mariners take notice. Met shipping forecasting gale warnings. Gale warnings extend from southeast Iceland to Fisher and the German Bight. A gale force of 8 increasing to severe gale force 9 is imminent and potentially increasing to a storm force 10 soon in many sectors. For further information, log on to www.metoffice.gov.uk. All mariners take notice. Tropical cyclone outlook. Currently, there are no tropical cyclones of note. This has been Robin Storm for Stormwatch. Visit Robin Storm at http://robinstorm.blogspot.com. May fair winds be with you always.
Girl, you gotta love your man. Take it.
All right, let's launch our sea stories here. Do you want to go first? You have one you want to talk about?
All right, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Independence. It was it's a ship built in 1950, along with her sister ship, the SS Constitution. They were built to transport passengers between U.S. ports and the Mediterranean, but with the advent of commercial aviation, their usefulness as a means of transport was short-lived. In 1968, she was taken from her cross-Atlantic duties and shortly sold to the Atlantic Far East Line and laid up in Hong Kong. By 1980, the new phenomenon of cruise ships was born, and the vessel was repurchased by an American company and put into service in Hawaii on a Jones Act run. And for many, many years, 21 years, she served the Hawaiian market, just going around the island and giving visitors the grand tour. In 2000, her company decided to do a big expansion program, and the government provided loans to build new ships. And shortly after, September 11th came around, the tourism market in Hawaii dried up quickly for a few months, and because the parent company was operating on such low margin, they went bankrupt. Norwegian Cruise Lines eventually came and took over the hulls of the new builds and bought the two ships, the Independence and the Constitution, which are endearingly nicknamed the Indy and the Connie. And they, in storage, warm storage, in San Francisco, meaning they were just dockside, not doing much. The Constitution was actually refurbished in Swan Island prior to this, and on the way back to Hawaii, she sank. And the Independence was left rusting on a dock in San Francisco. A lot of Flickr, which is a photo-sharing website, photographers have taken some wonderful pictures of the Independence over the years. But no one really knew her fate. Last week, without any prior announcement, she was towed out of San Francisco Harbor to a destination unknown in Asia. The assumption is she's going there to be scrapped at one of these shipbreaking yards in India. But no one really knows. What we do know is she's not under her own power. She's being towed. And on the way to Asia, the hope was to stop in Hawaii, refuel the tug, give the crew a little break. And her adopted state for 21 years refused her entry. Said there were environmental concerns with the equipment on board, and their fear was that the owners might dock her there and then abandon her. It was sold by Norwegian Cruise Lines to a foreign company that we think is going to wake the ship up, so it doesn't. The ship no longer has the backing of a brand name, and that was the fear, and they refused her entry. It's kind of a little bit of a sad story. She's on her final voyage to the shipbreakers, and her adopted state didn't let her in. Watched her sail by.
Yeah, it is a sad story, and I don't. What does that mean that she doesn't have the opportunity to stop there? I mean, she's being towed by a tug, I assume, and doesn't the tug have to be refueled at some point? Or I think I read somewhere that her next potential port of call is Guam, and I think they don't want to let her in there either. So, you know, what does that mean?
Well, I don't know the specifics on it. I mean, there are a few options. The company has to make other arrangements, the most logical of which is getting another tug either to continue the voyage or to temporarily hold the ship in position off of the coast of this one of these areas. while the tug is being refueled. They could possibly anchor. I don't know if they're even going to be allowed to do that, though. Those are the basic options.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's
really abandonment, and it happens at all levels. In Morro Bay, California, where I live, there's a boat. The owner died, and no one really looked after it, and it's just sitting there. And the cost to scrap the boat or to recycle the parts with what they consider environmental waste, the lube oil and the engine oil and all that, the cost for a firm to come in there and do this is something along the lines of $600,000, and just for a small 30-foot boat. So it's just been sitting there waiting for the funding or the money or someone to claim it.
Wow.
A ship the size of the Independence is going to cost the magnitudes that price. And on the other end of the scale are the most dangerous. I'm running a post right now for G-Captain. It's a pretty long post. It's titled The Most Dangerous Ship in the World, and it's about the oldest surviving nuclear-powered commercial ship in the Russian fleet. The U.S. built one commercial nuclear ship, the Savannah. The Russians built 10. Most of them were icebreakers. And some of the older ones are just sitting there. One in particular is in really bad condition right now, and we're kind of running the post on what's happening with it. Right now it's just sitting there waiting for funds. But obviously the reactor and all the material on board is a concern for the local citizens in the port, where she's staying.
Well,
and no one knows who's going to pay the bill for cleaning it up.
Well, I look forward to reading that post, so don't give us too much tonight.
All right. what do you have, Peter?
I have a story that usually I pick a Discoverer story, but I was surprised that this one didn't make it on it. And typically it might have been the type of story I'd put on there. There's a 1,000 Days at Sea, Mars Ocean Odyssey, is an expedition, I guess you'd call it, that launched in New York City last April 2007, by a guy named Reed Stowe, who is the owner and builder and operator of a schooner called the Schooner Ann. And his objective was to go to sea for 1,000 continuous days. And he likens it to a space mission, really, and that's why the Mars Ocean Odyssey comes into the name. And Reed was joined by, I guess was his girlfriend, a woman called Sonia Ahmed, clearly had no experience whatsoever on the water when she joined him and set sail for this 1,000 days at sea. And in her, to congratulate her, she made 307 of those days, consistent days. And just this week, she was experiencing just tremendous seasickness. They say they were in the Southern Ocean. The waves were getting much larger. The weather was just much worse than anything they experienced before in the prior 300 days. And she wanted off. So they came up close to Australia, to Perth, and a vessel from the Royal Perth Yacht Club came out and met them, and Sonia was taken off the boat. And an ironic twist of fate with the thing was that the boat that came out to pick them up, John Sanders was aboard, and John Sanders holds the record for most continuous days at sea. I think it's 657 days, so the ironic twist in fate is that if Reed Stowe is able to continue for the 1,000 days, he will actually eclipse John Sanders' record of 657 days. That's a solo record of continuous days at sea. So I wrote about this a number of times in my blog. I've sometimes called it the craziest maritime adventure going. I had the opportunity to meet Reed Stowe a number of years ago. I was at the boat show in New Jersey, and my friend Rick Scarano from Scarano Boat Building said, let's go and take a walk. I want to introduce you to this guy. And we went down to the boat, and I had the chance to meet Reed. This was probably about back in 2002 or 2003, maybe even. Welcome to board the boat, got a tour of the boat, and were invited to stay for lunch. And it was an interesting experience, to say the least. There's a bunch of people who are very hippie-like on board, and we had quite an interesting – I'm a kind of a meat and potatoes guy, but our lunch that day was sprouts, and that's basically what Reed uses to sustain himself sailing around the world. And he has actually done continuous days at sea voyage. He called it the Voyage of the Sea Turtle, in which he actually sailed a track that, if you were able to track it from the moon, it would have been in the shape of a turtle on the southern Atlantic Ocean. So anyway, interesting story about Reed Stowe and this 1,000 days at sea. Initially, they were trying to be at sea and out of sight of land. That obviously wasn't going to be the case when they had to land Sonia in Australia. He did come within sight of land, but he turned and sailed back out. And, you know, it's just kind of mind-boggling to me to think he has a 70-foot schooner here built in, I think, 1976. And he's on that thing alone now for, he hopes, nearly another 700 days. So all the luck, good fortune, fair winds, and following seas for him.
Wow, I have new seamen on here who are complaining after 2 weeks. I know my longest hitch was just over 4 months, and that was a long time to be out. Wow.
But you probably didn't eat sprouts, did you?
No, and then we did get some. We did at least tie up to the dock, even if I didn't get off too often.
Yeah, this guy's a unique character, and to say the least. And he's not a friend, but he's an acquaintance. I've seen him a number of times over the years, and you have to be a bit of a character, I think, to embark on an expedition like this. And anyway, we wish him luck.
There's no shortage of interesting people at sea, that's for sure.
So you're absolutely right.
The long watches and the middle of the night or the time to contemplate life. But
that's what makes it fun. So we have our internet ports of call, John. What do you got this week for us?
Sure, I got the two websites, very related. One is the TSA blog. This is the blog for all things related to security in airports. It's for the United States airports. They put a blog up. There are a lot of complaints about people going through airports, the security checks, what the regulations are. Some of the regulations don't seem to make very much sense. The TSA put up a blog. And they've been taking readers' comments and changing some of their procedures. I wrote a post about it. I was a little bit critical because they don't have any of the mariners' concerns. The big thing for U.S. mariners is a nationwide transportation workers' ID card named the TWIC.
Right.
And they don't have a blog for us yet. But this forward motion by a government organization is exciting. And my pick of the week is the Coast Guard's new website. They've totally redesigned the homepage. The Coast Guard has been trying to get into the internet world for the last few years. They put a lot of money and effort into their website, Homeport. It was going to be a one-stop shopping for all things related to the commercial side of the maritime of the Coast Guard's world. It's been a real failure. It's tough to navigate. There are no permanent links to anything. You always got to go to the homepage to get to things. A lot of the information is outdated, I imagine, because it's difficult for the Coast Guard employees to update. But on their new web homepage, uscg.mil, they've really taken the Web 2.0 approach, what we try to do on GCaptain, and make it as simple as possible, big graphics, easy navigation, and they really included a lot of the new media features. You go right to their homepage, you click multimedia, they got photos, podcasts, graphics. They even have their own YouTube channel. So really encouraging. You don't see this type of forward progression. More times than not, the U.S. big government organizations don't even try to get into this type of stuff. And when they do, they usually miss the mark dramatically. I think this is one case where they really really did a good job. And it's encouraging. That's
great.
Fun to just click around and see their pictures and podcasts. So check it out.
Good. It's funny, the TSA blog, I thought I had done a blog posting about it, actually, but I know I wrote a little Twitter thing about it when it first came out, and I just went to go try and find it on Twitter, and Twitter's down. I don't know if you use Twitter or not, but you can actually, there's a funny little website. You type in istwitterdown.com, and it comes up with a yes or a no, and Twitter is down right now. So, but what I posted about was when the TSA... this was like the first day of it, and I think their first post, they shut down comments after receiving over 400 comments on the first post. And you know, it's a pretty active blog over there, so I do commend them for engaging in that social media initiative, and hopefully it bears some fruit. I actually wrote a blog post over the weekend about the Department of Homeland Security has a blog called Leadership Journal, which is written by all the department heads. And I just kind of put a little critique about what I call the leadership voice on a post that went out this weekend about port security that was written by the Secretary Michael Chertoff. So anyway, check out my blog if you're interested in kind of the language of leadership. My internet protocol this week, though, is a website tied into, well, not tied directly into, but definitely a derivative of my sea story, The 1,000 Days at Sea. And it's a website called 1,000 Days of Hell. And it's basically a parody website of the 1,000 Days at Sea website, which chronicles, I mean, the 1,000 Days at Sea, Reed Stowe and Sonia Ahmed would post every single day about what was going on in the ship. 1,000 Days of Hell is not is quite as frequent, but they, and this is not safe for work, by the way, so if you're looking at it at work, just be careful. It is a parody in its truest sense. Sometimes it's funny.
You told me that 10 minutes ago.
Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's brutal. More often than not, it's pretty brutal. And I think it's basically written by a bunch of people who post over at Sailing Anarchy, which is a website and forum. And this is really a derivative of one of the forum posts that happened back last April. And somebody kind of found an article on Yahoo. And the article was Couple Cruises for 1,000 Days. And somebody basically, the first post was, can you believe this thing? And I just checked before we came on here, and since then there's been 12,694 posts or comments on that one forum about the 1,000 Days at Sea. So it's a pretty pretty active, and the 1,000 Days of Hell website is at times pretty funny. So, you know, if you went for a chuckle, sometimes it's actually goes a little bit too far, I think. But scary part was I just noticed tonight I did a blog post, and I really honestly didn't know this. I did a blog post when Sonia got off the boat, and I the title of the blog post was And Then There Was One. And I wrote about the adventure and her getting off. And tonight I went on 1,000 Days of Hell, and I noticed actually that these guys had the same title in their blog wavelength as the people that write this thing. But anyway, check it out. The address is 1000daysofhell.blogspot.com. And anyway, it's worth a chuckle. These guys go to great length to try to discredit. They think the whole thing's a hoax, and they go to great lengths of kind of exposing some of the weaker moments in Reed Stowe's life, such as when he got busted for, I guess, transporting about 14,000 pounds of marijuana in the 70s or 80s or something. I don't know. They're kind
of dropping the bucket.
Yeah. So anyway, it's worth a chuckle in the truest sense of internet parody. Check it out.
Great.
So that's the internet ports of call for this week. You got anything else, John, you want to share with our listeners?
No, that pretty much wraps it up. I encourage you to go back and listen to the last episode with Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander Nevada Smith and his crew of the Coast Guard Rescue Helicopter.
Yeah, definitely listen to that. It's really great stuff. And look forward to the C-130 pilot's interview, which we should have up in the next week or so. So we hope you join us in this conversation. You can comment on the show blog, which is messingaboutinships.com, and we have the show notes up there. We try to get it up there pretty timely, and we do encourage you to make your contributions there or send us an email at podcast@messingaboutinships.com. Get John on his website, gcaptain.com, or me on mine at c-fever.org. And then finally, you can get us via Skype with MAIS Podcast, Messing About in Ships Podcast. That's MAIS Podcast. Or our Skype-in number, 206-973-7000. That's 206-973-7000. No excuses for getting a hold of us. So we look forward to hearing from you.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Keep the calls coming in.
Great.
I am here on the air.
Look forward to talking to you next week, and you will be getting off the ship, right?
Correct. I have my wife's pregnant, and she's due in 2 or 3 weeks here. So
exciting.
Exciting, but busy time.
Well, we look forward to the hearing the good news here. Break it here on Messing About in Ships.
Yes.
But do you know if you're going
to
have a boy or girl?
We'll have to get Cindy on. She's a licensed second mate as well, so we'll have to get her on as a guest sometime.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Do you know if you're having a boy or girl?
No.
Oh, good. Surprise is good. One of those few surprises in life that's a good one. So
yeah, we figure we'll find out eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good luck, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Talk to you then, Peter.
This week's music is by Black Lab, and it's from the PodSafe Music Network, and the song is called See the Sun. Enjoy.
I can't see. drugs anymore.